This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. From Latin America to Africa, countries are trying to figure out how to deal with former government and military leaders who were responsible for torture and other violent acts against the civilian population. The Guatemala Truth Commission has just issued a report on human rights violations during Guatemala's 36-year civil war, which ended in 1996. The commission, sponsored by the UN, estimates the conflict resulted in 200,000 deaths and disappearances. The commission holds the Guatemalan military responsible for 93% of the deaths and the leftist guerrillas for 3%. The report also said that the United States provided direct and indirect support for some state operations. But the report's most stunning conclusion was that the military committed acts of genocide against the Mayan people during the most brutal part of the armed conflict in the early 80s. The Mayans are the indigenous population who are mostly poor. The Civil War was in some ways a classic Cold War dispute, a right-wing dictatorship representing the elite, challenged by a guerrilla movement receiving some communist support. The U.S. backed the dictatorship in an attempt to prevent the spread of communism. Christian Tomischot is the head of the Truth Commission, which is officially called the Historical Clarification Commission. We called him at his office in Berlin. I asked how the commission reached its conclusion about state-sponsored genocide in the early 80s.
Well, we came to the conclusion that in four regions of the country, which we subjected to specific investigation, genocide was committed by agents of the state. So it was not an overall and comprehensive finding for all the period of the armed confrontation. Now, our conclusion is based mainly on the fact that in some communities, everyone was killed. Men, women, children, and babies. Not a single person was left living. And so this atrocious killing, this massive killing of a defenseless population, cannot be explained otherwise than by an intention. Really to exterminate the group as such, because nowhere have babies been warriors which took the arms and fought against the government troops. So there must have been a strategy to annihilate and to exterminate the population as such. And that is really the main basis of our finding. There are some other supporting elements which also were relied upon to support this finding, but this the comprehensive nature of the killing that took place, that was a main pillar of what we found.
In these acts of genocide, did you find that there was racism against the Mayan people that went beyond politics?
Yes, it could really only be explained by racism, because in no case did we find that such a massive killing took place to the detriment of Ladino population. There had been some massacres committed also against the Ladino population in earlier years, but nowhere was the killing so complete, so absolute as in these Mayan communities, which were submitted to a policy of scorched earth from 81 to 83.
Now, were the leftist rebels guilty of atrocities themselves?
Yes, we found that the guerrilla also committed acts of killing and also some massacres, but it was not genocide because we couldn't find that. Well, there was an intention to kill members of the group as such. It was also, these were also acts of intimidation. There was pressure which was brought to bear on the population. But it was not the same intention. The guerrilla sought military and political advantages by killing people, but It was not their intention to kill the group as such.
And I believe that the statistics you came up with was 93% of the killing was attributed to the army, 3% to the leftist rebels.
Yes, on the basis of the testimonies and other materials which we received, the overall figure might be a little bit different if you had, a complete breakdown of all the killings, but the commission just had to work on the basis of what it received as evidence. And our main evidence was really the testimonies from the witnesses, nothing else. Or little else, very few documents, which we requested the government and the armed forces to provide. But the response was very limited, and we received very little documentary evidence from the government.
There's been increasing awareness of rape as a war crime. I'm wondering what you found in your investigations of how rape was used in attacks against women.
It was used, unfortunately, in a systematic manner. And all the women, or most of the women, before they were killed, were violated. This was almost a compulsory stage before the killings, and the soldiers looked at women as just objects which could be looted. The brutality was really unspeakable, indescribable. Sometimes the bellies of the women were opened, babies were extracted from pregnant women. It was a terrible time, and it's hard to understand why all this happened, how this could happen, how human beings could be converted into beasts, because they acted in those instances really as beasts and not as human beings.
The Truth Commission report found that forced disappearance was a systematic practice of the military. What did you learn about how that worked?
Well, we found that there was a systematic pattern of disappearances from the earliest period of the armed confrontation onward, as from 1966. That was a practice, massive forced disappearance was really invented in Guatemala and used as a device for furthering political purposes, for combating, as it were, communism, because there was a strong ideology of anti-communism. This continued over the time until the latest period of the armed confrontation.
What's the logic behind disappearances?
Well, the logic behind disappearances is first to make political opponents to disappear them, first of all, then not to leave any traces in some instances, just the person, from one day to the next, he cannot be found anymore, no traces left. And of course, one of the main objectives of disappearances is to terrorize the population, because there's such a state of insecurity that everyone who risks to say a critical word must face up to that danger, and everyone is or was aware that the same could happen to him, the same fate, and this was really used in particular as an instrument to really to put pressure, and more than pressure, to act by terroristic acts in order not to permit any kind of criticism of governmental policies.
My guest is Christian Tomaschott, the head of the Guatemala Truth Commission. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Christian Tomaschott, the head of the UN-sponsored Guatemala Truth Commission, which just released its report on Guatemala's 36-year civil war. Does your report recommend that the individuals who were most responsible for the massacres, the genocide, the torture, be prosecuted in the court of law?
Well, we are saying in our recommendations that Guatemala should abide by its own law of national reconciliation, a law which says that there is an amnesty, which decrees an amnesty, but it limits that amnesty very carefully. First of all, acts for which amnesty is granted must be narrowly tied up to armed conflict. And second, there are some crimes for which amnesty is not granted. In particular, it is the crime of genocide. There is, according to the Guatemalan legislation, no general pardon or amnesty nor anything else for genocide. So according to the Guatemalan legislation, these acts must be prosecuted.
Now, I know that your commission is also recommending that there be investigations into what happened to the disappeared people.
Yes, right.
That there be a policy of exhumation, that the remains of victims of armed confrontation found in hidden cemeteries would be handed over to relatives for a dignified burial.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect that there will be follow-up on that, that there will be investigations into the disappeared, that there will be investigations to find hidden cemeteries so that the remains...
I have no doubt that, in particular, as far as hidden cemeteries are concerned, the government will indeed implement our recommendations, because it is known that these cemeteries exist, and the family members insist that a decent burial be given to their beloved ones. Now, as far as other recommendations are concerned, it may be more doubtful, but as far as hidden cemeteries are concerned, I have no doubts whatsoever.
Now, I know some of your report is based on oral histories. Was it difficult to get people to talk with you about atrocities that they had witnessed or that they knew of?
Oh, yes, it was sometimes very difficult. First of all, many people were still afraid. They thought that... making declarations would expose them to reprisals on the part of those who in the past held power.
Could you give them reassurances that that wasn't going to happen?
Well, to the extent possible, because, we had no police force. We ourselves, we needed some security support. So we were not able, but we could tell people that if all of them, if a whole community speaks out, then nobody can threaten them anymore. And many communities, recognize this opportunity to get rid of the traumas of the past by making declarations, and at the same time, making threats a blunt, a useless weapon, because once the truth is known, what can you do as a former author? What can you do? It's useless to threaten those who have given their testimony.
Well, I guess the value of it would be preventing other people from giving their testimony, creating a climate of fear that would suppress the truth.
Well, in many parts of the country, in particular in the most seriously affected parts of the country, people really massively came to the offices of our commission. In some other parts of the country, people were more cautious and didn't like to speak out. And we had one case where people who had made their declarations afterwards requested us that they could withdraw the declarations, because they indeed feared that this might lead to some reprisals or other hostile acts against them. And indeed, we complied with their request.
Were you there to actually hear firsthand the testimonies of witnesses?
Yes, many times. We... commissioners, we ourselves went out into the countryside to assist our investigators when declarations were made. We traveled to all of the regional offices to be present there and to see ourselves how the work progressed and which difficulties our investigators were facing up to. In particular, there was a difficulty with the Mayan languages, because many people in Guatemala simply don't speak Spanish. We needed translators. And in particular, those people who don't speak Spanish are not used to telling a story straightforward. they move a little bit around in circles. You have to win their confidence, and then it goes on maybe for hours until you learn everything about the whole story which they wish to tell you.
I'm wondering what impact it had on you personally as the head of the commission to hear so many stories of torture and murder.
Well, you know, it's shocking, and leaves you really moved, deeply moved. And even if you just read some parts of our report, we inserted quite a number of testimonies, the true testimony as it was given by the witnesses. Then you find that these were terrible, terrible times. And what personally affected me most was these reports about mistreatment and other attacks against sexual assault on women. Maybe this is the most frightening part of our report.
Did you say most frightening part of the report?
It is frightening because it shows you, you know, how debased human nature can become.
Yeah.
That it can lose all principle of morality, that there's nothing left, that they just act as killing machines, and this really is frightening. We particularly in Germany, we believe that after the terror of the Second World War, this would not happen again, but again there was a doctrine of brutality which was officially taught at military academies in Guatemala. In any event, soldiers were taught to behave like beasts, and this was practiced for several years, and nobody really was interested in that. Journalists didn't wake up, and as I said, the U.S. government was well aware of what happened, but it didn't make any representations to the government of Guatemala, as far as we know.
Now, you mentioned before that you had to have security while you were in Guatemala. Were there any attempted attacks on members of the commission? Did members of the Guatemalan military or government try to intimidate you in any way?
No. Unfortunately, I can say that very frankly and openly. At no time did the Guatemalan government try to intimidate us, to threaten us. There were difficulties with the Guatemalan government, some political tensions from time to time. The charges was exceeding our mandate. But there was really no attempt to obstruct our work, to impede our work, and we received no threats, although this is really a rare occurrence, because death threats by telephone are something which is almost normal in Guatemala. But this did not happen, and for that reason, we are really very grateful to the government of Guatemala to have permitted to our investigation to proceed smoothly and without any kind of that intimidation or other obstacles.
You presented your Truth Commission report to the people of Guatemala last week. What reaction did you get in Guatemala?
Well, I think in the press, 98% of the voices were very positive. They welcomed the report, and most people said, well, all of this was already known, but to say it officially in the presence of the head of state and of the Minister of Defense and of high-ranking ambassadors, ministers, and also in the presence of the people makes it different. And that now, really, Guatemala is under an obligation to look into its past. There were only very few dissenting voices from the right-hand side of the political spectrum, and I find it very positive that the government did not immediately react, that the government decided to wait to read the report carefully and then only to come up with an official statement.
You presented your report to members of the United Nations on Monday. What reaction are you getting to that presentation?
Well, again, the response was very positive. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Kofi Annan, showed great interest, and he felt that this is an important contribution to the peace process in Guatemala. Again, the diplomatic community, in particular the representatives of donor countries who financed the Truth Commission, was very positive in its statements. So I think the overall response is extremely positive.
Christian Tomaschott, thank you very much for discussing the Truth Commission report with us.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Christian Tomaschott is the head of the Guatemala Truth Commission. He spoke to us from his office in Berlin. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.